Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, my friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Paul understood that the saints are completely equal in the authority of their function in the church. This is why he exhorted those who were called to be elders to lead by example rather than power. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. We are certain that the church of Jesus Christ has one king, and that he has delegated his authority to all of his children alike. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The manifestation of certain types of gifts does not give grounds for a man to be lifted up in some midst of the church any more than the lack of those particular gifts should relegate him to some secondary tier of importance as to the ministry of the saints. Many equate the work of the ministry, which Paul mentions in Ephesians 4:12, to the gift of preaching and teaching. A thorough study of the passage and its context reveals that the gifts of teaching and preaching are for the purpose of instructing the saints in general, that they might in turn understand and be equipped to perform the work of the ministry one to another. The body is edified and knit together by that which every joint supplieth. Only as every joint is performing that ministry to which they are called is the church knit together. This means that the ministry cannot be simply preaching and teaching, but must consist of something else which is supplied even by those who are not given verbal gifts. We have no desire to minimize the blessing and importance of sound teaching and preaching among the saints of God. This is a vital gift and calling which the church must not neglect nor consider in any less importance than that which the Scriptures plainly set forth, as the Lord has seen fit to commit it to faithful men. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Yet we find that the spoken testimonies of the saints and recounting the dealings of the Lord with them are often as timely and useful as those messages which are the result of labor in word and doctrine. Those are meant for the encouragement of the saints. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The Lord teaches his children every day in the trials, failures, and triumphs of daily life, and it is unfortunate that some regard these lessons as inferior to those which are gained by exposition of the Holy Scriptures, and give minimal opportunity or encouragement for the sharing of them in the congregation of the saints. One should not replace the other, nor should either be neglected. Then Samuel took a stone and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Yet there is another form of ministry of the saints one to another, which is equally as important as any other, and is often not considered as ministry at all. These ministries may be the most powerful of all, since they don't involve the tongue, which according to the Scriptures is set on the fire of hell. This nonverbal ministry is not about words, but is about a true demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost, as his work is manifest in those in whom he works both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This is a manifestation that his people are doers of the word and not hearers only. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. This nonverbal ministry is first demonstrated as the saints of God give proper regard unto the declaration of the Lord that said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Those who value the presence of Christ cannot neglect or forsake the assembling of the saints without neglecting a meeting with Christ himself, if they indeed believe that what he said is true. This desire to assemble with the saints also demonstrates to those who gather regularly the mutual love, esteem, and respect that each has for the other, in valuing their fellowship above the activities, cares, and attractions of this world. Together they can enjoy the presence of Christ in a fashion which is unique. The gathering of the saints is a testimony to the faithfulness of God to keep his own from falling, as each is reminded by the presence of the others that some have not forsaken the faith once delivered to the saints. The children of God are exhorted to bear one another's burdens, and it is in this assembly that those burdens are made known and shared as each one feels his brother's pain and with him bears a part. This is perhaps the greatest ministry which the saints can perform to one another, and is a clear demonstration of action which manifests the true children of God. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.